Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
Seated. Great to have everybody this morning. What an awesome church. You could have used the excuse, you know, you lost an hour, but you guys are here. Although some of you are so addicted to your cell phones, you probably didn't even realize you lost an hour. You just looked at your phone in the morning. You got the time. But great to have everybody here, and we're excited what God's doing at Faith Baptist Church, and excited to have everybody here this morning. This morning, we're going to get a little bit away from our study in the Gospel of John. And we're going to talk about what's on a lot of people's minds, although we're not really going to talk about it. We're going to talk about a spiritual application of the coronavirus. And every day we wake up and it seems like it's spreading, seems like it's getting worse. More people are getting it every day. And though we're blessed in the day and age we live in, because we have medical science and technology, and we're able to find out about these viruses, we're able to identify them, we're able to understand what quarantine is and all that stuff, and as though fearful it is, as it is, and it is something to be feared, because it is a reality when you see a virus spreading like this, and it is maybe today we're so dependent upon our technology, we're not maybe calling out to God as we may have had in the past. But epidemics have been part of human history. I was just doing a little bit of Googling, and the Asian flu between 1956 and 1958, 1 to 4 million people died. After World War I, a flu pandemic hit Europe, and they estimated 20 to 50 million people died. The Black Death, we've probably many heard about in the 1300s, between 75 to 200 million people died. So when, even though this pandemic is very disturbing to a lot of people, that to put in perspective of world history and what it could be. And another thing I didn't realize, last year, according to the CDC, 64,500 people, they estimated, died in America because of the flu, and they estimate worldwide about 500,000 people die every year because of the flu. So that's something I didn't realize, and didn't realize that this is going on now. The news media, we don't hear a lot about that, and now we're hearing about the coronavirus, and may have something to do with election, who knows? But the thing is, it is real, and we should be concerned, and we should take precautions. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, so this is not a medical, okay? I want you to know that this morning. I want to look at the spiritual aspects of this, because the Bible does talk about plagues. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says, in the last days, a third of the people in the earth will die because of plagues. So plagues are something mentioned in the Bible and something that we should fear and take precautions as we should. But we have to ask ourselves a question. We should fear God more than we fear the virus. And that's the text verse we're going to look in a second. He said, you should fear the glorious name of the Lord. And we fear a lot of things today. It amuses me. Now, in my perspective, sometimes after living in Romania over 20 years, sometimes it amuses me the things Americans get uptight about. But that's in my context. But the question really is, we fear the virus, but do we fear God. Now, we're looking in the book of Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Okay, chapter 28, and we're looking at verse 58 this morning. And if you have a chance this week, or make it a priority, read Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30. Very interesting chapter that God lays out before his people. He lays out the blessings and the cursings. Now remember, they're getting ready in Deuteronomy 28. Where are they getting ready to go? Anybody? The people of Israel. Okay, where they had just been, they had just crossed a sea. What sea was that? Thank you, the Red Sea. And how many years did they spend in the wilderness?
40 years.
And so they're getting ready to go where? The Promised Land. All right, you guys are into this morning. Good, amen. So they're getting ready to go in the Promised Land. And so the book of Deuteronomy, it's known as the second law. He's retelling, and chapters 28, 29, 30, God's laying out the promises. Now, how long did God want them to stay in the Promised Land? Forever. Well, you're here and you're awake, amen, this morning. All right. Forever. He wanted to establish that kingdom. And so he goes through, he starts in verse 1, and he goes through the blessings. And then he spends a lot of time on the warning. He's given them a warning. Now notice what this says, verse 58. He says, if you do not carefully or diligently observe, how many of the words? All the words, thank you. All the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. So what shows us that we fear God is when we obey His law. He says, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious prolonged sickness. Now that is, in our 21st century mind, that's pretty difficult. God has given a warning to His people, and we're going to understand this better as we go on, but let me ask you, parents. Have you ever warned your kids? Do you ever stop warning, especially you mothers? Like my kids, they know when they're going to get the speech. They could probably even give it. Right? Enough kids in my house, they probably know the speech. So it's going to be a warning. So God's given a warning. Is it because God is mean, or is it because God cares about us? He cares. Most of you parents, some of you parents care about your kids this morning. So when you warn them, when you tell them what's going to happen, you're doing it out of love because you want good things for them. So God's warning His people. He's given them a warning. Now notice something else too. He's warning, who is He warning? The Israelites, His children. Thank you. The Bible says judgment must begin where? House of God. So this is how we're often very self-righteous. Because we look in look at those people. And God quickly puts up a mirror because He's pointing right back at us. So this is for God's people. And oftentimes He's harder with His own and than He is with those in the world. Because, anyways, I won't get into that. But so as we think about the coronavirus, we think about this epidemic. We think about the fear that we might have of catching it, and that is a real threat. I want us to think about that this morning and ask ourselves this morning, are we fearing God and are we walking in His ways? Are we looking to Him as the source of our strength, our blessing, our identity, our satisfaction, our self-worth? Is it in Him or is it in something else? Because you know what shows us what is important to us? What we're afraid to lose. And fear comes because we're afraid to lose something. Whether that be money, whether it be a job, whether it be a person, whether it be a health. That fear comes because we may lose it. The stability we have in understanding relationship with God is that it is something we never lose. It is something that no man can take away from us. And so God is bringing us back and trying to get our attention that we could have something that we'll never lose. Now notice first of all this morning that God desires to give us health and blessings. And notice this chapter 28. Notice verse 1. He says this: Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because why? Because you're really smart. Because you have a good military strategy. Because you're in the right position. No. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And one of the fundamental things we have to understand about our lives, our daily lives, of all that we can do to have a prosperous life, God's word tells us that the most important thing that we should do or be concerned about or be fearful to lose is to be walking in God's ways. To be planted by the rivers of living water. To be anchored in Him. Having the faith that prosperity and blessings come from God, not from ourselves. And so God desires to work in our lives. In the Revelation, it talks about this: and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And all of us today are trying to find ways to deal with pain, deal with difficulties. Thank you. Good. I'm glad it wasn't kombucha, too. I was a little worried. My family drinks vinegar. I don't know why, but... So, God understands that. And John wrote to the church, he said this in 3 John 1:2. He said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Just as your soul prospers. So God is concerned about you. God wants to give us good things. He's going to his people and he's saying, "I put before you all these blessings." God wants to bless us. God wants us to have a prosperous life and to understand Him and walk with Him. But we have to understand, number two, our health and blessings come from walking in God's laws or the path or the way or in Him. Now we talked in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. And so we're kind of repeating that theme this morning as we talk about this passage in Deuteronomy. But if you would grasp this morning in your mind that you're trying to find a way to get prosperity, trying to get away from peace. And when I talk about prosperity, I'm not saying that God's going to drop money down from heaven. Okay, I'm not talking about necessarily material prosperity. I'm talking about our soul, our life, our satisfaction, our identity. The things that are much more important than money. You can be very prosperous and not have a lot of money. Good news, amen? So we have to grasp this. And again, he says here, if you do not carefully observe all the words of the law that are written in this book, that you may fear, what does he say? This glorious and awesome name. So we need to fear, we need to respect. Now fear, when we're talking about fear of God, I'm not talking about like you're hiding under the bed. Fear God, it means that in our lives, in our daily life, we're looking to Him. And so if we're at work and we have an opportunity, all the guys are in the room and they're like, oh yeah, all this stuff, let's just take these tools home. And you think, oh, I'll get an extra tool. And you're thinking, no, not doing that. And then they kind of like distance themselves from you. You're actually prospering because you're fearing God more than them. So that's what it means to fear God. It means you're putting God first. You're here this morning because you fear God. You have a fear of God. You want to see God work. And so God's he's imploring, he's begging, he's pleading, he's begging his people, walk in my law, be careful, diligent to obey my voice. And I give before you all these blessings if you walk in the law. So the third point, and what we're looking at with this virus is this. If God is against us, then we have no hope. So notice what he says. He goes on. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious name and awesome name, the Lord your God. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Notice what he's saying. If there's no hope, if God is against us, if God is working against us, and it says here that the Lord will bring upon you these sicknesses. You know what we have in our minds today? We have in our minds that we have more rights than God. When I talk about that God will bring plagues in our minds, our 21st century minds, wait a minute, no. God doesn't have a right to do that. We can protest anything. We protest everything today. That's a random picture from Google, this is not an endorsement of any protest this morning, amen? The point is this. What do we have? It's like when you're, and I hate to use these illustrations all the time, but how many rights does your 3-year-old have? I see the old guys like, none. Some of the younger people think, whoa. We're like the 3-year-olds today. Now, God can't do that. How can God do that? And so in our mind, when we talk about that God brings judgment, sometimes it just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem real. But the truth is, if God's not for us, what are we left with? And when we go away from God's path, and we get into trouble, and there's so many people today that are like, life doesn't work out, nothing works out. Well, you're not walking in the way God intended you to walk. I wanted to bring, I didn't get to do it, but in Romania, in Europe, the electricity is 220. So here, electricity is what? 110. Okay, still awake. Amen. So there have been times. Now, today, a lot of the stuff they make is multi-voltage. It'll go up to 240, most of the electronic stuff. But back then, it wasn't. And so what happens if you take a 110 charger and plug it in a 220 socket? You can start a fire. It'll go pop. It may start melting your computer cord. Now, is that because your computer cord and your outlets are just so unkind and unjust? They're not compatible. Read the directions. So when God's telling his people to walk in his path, walk in his way, he's saying this is the way of life. This is the way you're going to find satisfaction, contentment, identity, forgiveness. Walk in the path. And so when God sends these warnings, God's doing it. He's sending these warnings to bring us back to him. Because, admit it, sometimes the warning has to be better than just a kind word. Sometimes you have to pay the price for you to wake up. We're all like that. Now notice what it says, verse 64. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. Verse 65, and among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Boy, that describes our society, doesn't it? We're trying to find a pill to deal with our anxiety when the root of our problem is we've gotten away from God. Verse 66, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. Our schools, like to go to middle school today, there is bullying, there is influence of drugs, of sex, of disrespect. There's teachers quitting. What have we done as a society to create this atmosphere? Young people committing suicide at an alarming rate. Yet, physically, we have everything. Is there anybody here that's like, like actually starved in the last, in their lifetime. Physically, we have, materially, we have everything we need, and yet there's fear, there's anxiety, there's suicide, there's uncertainty, there's fear. We say, why? Why do these things happen? God said it. If you walk in my laws, you have the blessings. So he's telling his people, I'll scatter you. But the intent is that God wants to bring us back. He wants to bring us back. So a flu, a hurricane, a snowstorm, an earthquake, a plague, all of these that are happening today, you know what they are? According to the book of Revelation, they're an appetizer. The book of Revelation, he talks about the vials, the plagues that's going to be poured out, the wars. And so God is using these small things, and even today, I remember back 9/11, the churches were full. But we've become so immune to these things, they happen so often, that even with this coronavirus, there's a lot in the news, but I don't see a lot of people turning to God. God does not want you to wait till it's too late. And if you wait till it's too late, it's your fault. Now, this week, now, how many of you talk on your cell phones while you're driving? Liars, right? Huh? There's only one. Me and Jim. Two, sorry. So in most states, it's against the law, right? You got to have Bluetooth or whatever. I don't know what the new Connecticut. But anyways, I was driving my mother-in-law's car back from Rhode Island this week, and I'm talking to Rebecca on the phone. And talking. I had Bluetooth with me, and I didn't put them on. And it wasn't the first time I've done that, nor the second, nor the third, or the fourth. And as I'm going through the rotary, what I see behind me. Buddies at the police department. I thought they wanted a donation. Now, if it was in Romania, I would have resolved it on the spot, but I was in America, so I didn't want to go to jail. So I pulled over. He says, you know why I pulled you over? You're talking to yourself. Yes, sir, I was. And now I got to go. And he was nice about it, and now I got to go to court. And he says, if you bring a receipt from a Bluetooth, whatever, you can get out of it. So I may not have to pay any money. So will I not talk about that? But here's the point. The point is, did I know it was wrong to talk on the cell phone? Should I have been pulled over several times in the past? Did I ignore the warning? And did the day of reckoning come? It did. But fortunately, it's just a ticket. When it's life, it's a lot more serious. It's way more serious. Notice what he says in chapter 30. He says this, "Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the cursings, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you." And notice what he says. "And you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you." Verse 2, "And return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. According to all that I commanded you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." So God gives the warning. We give the warning to our kids, and they don't, when they're between 13 and 18, they don't listen to the warnings. Or 25, depending on how stubborn they are. Or never. But when they come back, God says, "I'll bring you back. I'll restore you. Return to me." As long as you have breath, you're alive, can hear this word, God's saying, "Return." You say, "I'm not worthy." That's why Jesus went to the cross. None of us are worthy. Because the best of us are not worthy. Because oftentimes when we think we're worthy, then we go the other extreme. We become very self-righteous and think we're better than other people. Because we haven't done those things. I can't believe Pastor would talk on the cell phone. Yes, because you don't have a cell phone. You don't drive anywhere. But anyways. All right, I promise this day forward, I will use my Bluetooth. I learned my lesson. But the truth is, the good news of the gospel, God wants to restore. He's not looking to do wrong, but if you keep putting the 110 and the 220, don't expect it to work. It doesn't matter how sincere, how good intention, it's not going to work. It never works going against God's law. And Satan's going to deceive you and give you all these false lies and say, "God doesn't want good things, and good things are over here." I think back, and as you know, I came to Christ at 17. And I think back on my life and think, what a blessing it has been to have the blessings of the Lord walking in his path, not because I'm any better, not because I'm any of a less sinner, but when you walk in his paths, you see the blessings of God. And so God is giving us a little bit warning. Let us return. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love. Lord, sometimes in our modern mind, we don't understand judgment, plagues, punishment. Sometimes think we have this idea that doesn't matter what we do, that God, you should be for us. And Lord, we know in the way you're for us, but yet we have to turn to you. We have to repent. We have to change our ways. Lord, we've fallen short. We thank you, God, for this day of mercy, this day of grace. You've not rewarded us according to our sins. You've not punished us according to our evil doings. You have extended to us sunshine. You have extended to us grace. You have extended to us compassion. Lord, may we not take it for granted. May we not abuse it. May we understand it may not be there tomorrow. But while we're here, may we turn back to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to